Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Vanachari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Nityai Gora Haribol 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 Nityai Gora Haribol Gora Premanandi Hari Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sotara Sata Sisimathi Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Prensi Gosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasa Digora Bhakta Vrindaki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinacha Makunda Radha Kunda Giri Gordanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki, Tulasi Devi Maraniki, Gora Premanandi. All glories to assemble devotees. All glories to assemble devotees. All glories to assemble devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 23, text number 20. Okay, please repeat after me. Hamsa parabata vratais. Tatra tatra ni kujitam. Kritima manja manai swan. Adiruhya diruhya cham. Hamsa Parabata Bratais Tatra Tatra Nikujitam Kritima Manya Manai Swan Adirujya Adirujya Cha. Hamsa Parabrata Bratais Tatra Tatra Nikunjitam Kritima Manya Manai Swam Adiruhya Adiruhya Cha Hamsa Parabhata Bratais Tatra Tatra Nikujitam Kritima Manya Manai Swam Adiruhya Adiruhya Cha Hamsa Parabhata Bratais Tatra Tatra Nikujitam Kritima Manya Manai Swan Adiruhya Adiruhya Cha. Anybody else? Okay. Word by word translation. Hamsa of swans. Parabhata of pigeons. Bratai with multitudes. Tatra tatra. Here and there. Nikujitam. Vibrated. Kritimam. Artificial. Manya manai, thinking, swan, belonging to their own kind. Adiruhya, adiruhya, rising repeatedly. Cha, and. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll read this verse, and also I'm supposed to read text number 21 later after this, but let's stay with this for a minute here. Here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons, so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them live birds like themselves. Thus the palace vibrated with the sounds of these birds. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. I would like to just say a few words about this verse, although there is no purport, but it is an interesting verse because it looks like what we call today artificial intelligence. It was already there back then, but it was an artificial intelligence created by man. It was created by Kardama Muni's yoga potencies. So actually artificial intelligence may come from some kind of yoga potency that we don't even know about, but that's what it looks like here. So let's say a few words about this verse before we move on. So it is mentioning that here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons. You know, in other words, in order to decorate, to make the palace very, very beautiful, there were these swans that were flying and they were in that beautiful mansion that Kardama Muni had created in the sky, beautiful flying palace. And so we see the birds that the Srimad Bhagavatam verse is talking about are swans. They are not crows, they are swans. So there is a difference there. Because the swan is a very special entity, very special animal. Remember when we used to live in New Vrindavan, we lived there for several years, and we had a cabin up above the lake near the Gornitai deities. If you go to New Vrindavan, you know there is very large Gornitai deities. So we used to live there in that cabin. And I used to go chant my rounds to get to Mongol Arti, and I used to go by the swans and then come back. And I would see the swans on the lake of New Vrindavan. Beautiful, beautiful birds, but you really didn't want to get too close to them. They are very territorial. They are very proud entities and beings. So I studied them a little bit when I was there. And so from the scriptures now, we know that the swans represent wisdom and knowledge. Also, they are the carriers of Saraswati Deva. In other words, Saraswati, the goddess of learning, is always represented riding on a swan. Also, Lord Brahma rides on a swan, and Saraswati Deva is the wife of Lord Brahma. And this story is pretty much the mandate from Lord Brahma. He told Kardama Muni to go and populate the earth, actually. So this is all very much connected to these swans that are in this beautiful palace. So there is, of course, then Srila Prabhupada mentioned this point of the swans and the crows in his lectures. There is a very, very famous lecture of Srila Prabhupada he gave in Los Angeles, and you can find it on YouTube. It's very easy to find. And it's on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, verse 33, in which Prabhupada said that in human society, there are crow men and swan class men. The swan class men will come here because everything, meaning come to our temple, because here everything is clear, nice. We have good philosophy, good food, good education, good mind. And crow class men will go to such and such club, such and such party. So this Krishna consciousness is for the swan class of men, the hamsas, the paramahamsas, right? Hamsa, paramahamsa. We can convert the crows into swans. So that's what this movement, one of the main services of the movement is to transform the crow men that are addicted to all this sense gratification into swan-like men, full of knowledge, full of wisdom. And so the idea, the symbology of the swan is very, very powerful, very, very, very important in the world, especially in Vedic philosophy, Vedic understanding of things. Because we want to be the swan. We don't want to be like the crow man. We want to be like the swan man, like Prabhupada is saying. So, now, as you know, I play the flute, so obviously I always bring my flute with me. I wanted to give you an interesting point of view here, because there is the... when I was studying flute, we studied a very beautiful raga called Hamsa Dwani, the song of the swan. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I think Pundarika Vidyanidhi gave a class on how Lord Krishna can talk with different animals, birds, plants, even the plants also. So Krishna can... speak the language of these different animals. So he also speaks the language of the swans. Yeah. So this is the Raga Hamsa Dwani. It's actually sung before concerts in India. It's attributed to South Indian music, but it is used widely in North and South. Actually, the real beginning of this raga, or who created this raga, is Krishna, because Krishna is speaking with the swans. He's talking with the swans. So Saraswati Deva just brought this music here to earth so we can appreciate that. It's not like Saraswati herself created the music. Saraswati heard the music from somewhere. That was from Krishna, who's playing on his flute, this raga called Hamsa Dwani. And it's a very, very beautiful raga. and it's usually played in the beginning of concerts, and it's related to Raga Amrita Varshini, which means the shower of nectar, because everything that comes from the spiritual world is Amrita, right? It's like when Vishnu is speaking, is said in the chapter 21 of the previous, of this third canto, chapter 21, two chapters before this, that Vishnu came and was talking with Kardama Muni, came to give him the audience, and he brought with him this Amrita. So this Amrita, Amrita Varshini, this raga, is also a pentatonic raga, and it's connected to Hamsa Dwani. So Hamsa Dwani also has these tinges of Amrita from the spiritual world, because it does really come from Krishna. Let me see if Krishna allows me to play a couple of notes for you from Raga Hamsa Dwani, so you can see how the language of the swans is actually musical, and it comes really from Krishna himself. That is the Hamsa Dwani, the song of the swan, and I learned it from my teacher, Govardhan Singh Sachdev. He was a Vaishnava. He always taught very the Bansuri flute from this Vaishnava point of view, that Krishna plays the flute. I was chanting Hare Krishna way before then with George Harrison, of course, but then when I found Sahasrara, Sahasrara kind of told me that, yeah, Krishna, God, plays the flute, and these are the records that he plays. So I learned it from that point of view. And of course, once I, that was in Berkeley, California, back in the 70s. So, and then when I met the devotees, I said, oh, well, this is what Sahasrara is talking about. So I was very much inspired by it. So anyway, the point is that, yeah, so Krishna creates these beautiful music, these beautiful tones, and he speaks with all the animals, he speaks with all the living entities in this planet. Really, it's very, very amazing and extraordinary that he can do that, because that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we can learn a little bit from the beauty that of his music, that everything he creates is very artistic, is very beautiful, is amrita, is full of nectar and joy. So let's continue, because we're supposed to do one more verse, and we will come back to the to verse 20. So verse 21. So here is the verse that has a short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Text 21. Viharastana Vishrama Samvesa Prangana Jirai Yatopajosam Rachitair Vismapanam Ivatmanaha Viharastana Vishrama Samvesa Prangana Jirai Yatopajo Samrachitae Vismapanam Ivatmanaham. Anybody wants to say the word? Okay, we'll continue then. Viharastana, pleasure grounds, Vishrama, resting chambers, Samvesa, bedrooms, Prangana, inner yards, Ajirai, with outer yards, Yata Upajosam, according to comfort, Rachitai, which were designed, Vismapanam, causing astonishment, Iva, indeed, Atmanaha, to himself, Kardama. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, and inner and outer yards designed with an eye to comfort. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni, being a saintly person, was living in a humble hermitage. But when he saw the palace constructed by his yogic powers, which was full of resting rooms, rooms for sex enjoyment, and inner and outer yards, he himself was astonished. That is the way of a God-gifted person. A devotee like Kardama Muni exhibited such opulence by his yogic power at the request of his wife. But when the opulence was produced, he himself could not understand how such manifestations could be possible. When a yogi's power is exhibited, the yogi himself is sometimes astonished. Om magyana temerandasya yanangyana shalakshaya chakshuru militam yana taismai sigurave namaha. So, and then, from this purport, we understand that the palace was so beautiful that even Kardama Muni himself, he was astonished. So, wow, this is beautiful. How could I create anything like that? Well, the reason why he could create it, because why was he a yogi? Because he was given an order by his, well, progenitor or guru, spiritual master, Lord Brahma, told him to go and procreate. And he had this desire to actually to get Lord Krishna to have God as his offspring or to bring him forward to this planet so that everyone could benefit from Vishnu's association. So Vishnu himself came to his ashram, as we discussed previously in chapter 21. Vishnu himself came riding on the shoulders of Garuda. And then they spoke, and Lord Vishnu told him that, yes, you will meet the proper female person that will give you the children that you are desiring, and also I will also come. So, and then Lord Vishnu left, and it is said that he left on the back of Garuda, and Garuda, flapping on his wings, was actually saying or creating the verses, well, actually was reciting the verses from the Rig Veda. I mean, in other words, even Garuda, when he's flying, it's not like just flying and making noise or anything. It's, again, that's the issue that I have with the scientists, that they say that the universe was created out of randomly, and that there was some Big Bang. Well, Big Bang, if you want to talk about a big loud sound, maybe we can talk about a symphonic sound. Maybe we can think about Mahler's Fifth Symphony or something like that. Some beautiful, beautiful symphonic sound, very loud instrumentation. But it's organized. Everything that Krishna does is beautiful, it's artistic, it's musical. There is nothing random about what he does. It's very beautiful. Again, even Garuda is flapping on his wings and reciting the Rig Veda. So it's very, very special. So now, Kardama Muni was a great yogi, and he created this beautiful palace that we were discussing with swans, and swans that were not actually alive, but they were like artificial intelligence swans or something like that. I mean, is it a wonder that most of the artificial intelligence that we know actually comes from India? I mean, the Indians are the top computer techies in the planet, in the universe, basically. So because they already had these ideas of artificial intelligence and computer programming and so on. It's all in the Vedas. It's all over our literature. So very, very advanced. But anyway, we have to go a little bit beyond this artificial intelligence and understand that Kardama Muni has yogic powers. So a yogi has powers that are beyond our actual conception. They are achintya. We don't even know what it is or where it comes from. So in a sense, you know, when we talk about Srila Prabhupada, we say, well, Srila Prabhupada was a guru that came from India. No, he was not a guru. He was a Shakyavesh avatar. Not my words. These are, right, Sridhar Swami's words. He was not from, you know, in other words, something happened. Sridhar Swami said, and I kind of have to agree with him, although he was prepared by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj to get to that point. Something happened in that Yaladuta where he suffered three heart attacks. Three, not one, three. Okay, if you can survive one, that's great. What about two? What about three? How can you survive three heart attacks? It's not common, right? And he did. And as we know from the Lilamrita, he said, well, Krishna, if you don't calm these waters, I'm not going to make it another one. So you take charge, right? That's what we heard. That's what is written on the Lilamrita. And the next day, the waters of the Atlantic Ocean were very, very smooth. In fact, the captain of the Yaladuta said that he had never seen the waters that calm. Why? Because Krishna took charge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Srila Prabhupada that people knew, in fact, as we know from a class that I heard a few months ago, there was this devotee saying, or it's in a book, but I don't recall the name of this book, that there was a pujari. The last devotee that Prabhupada visited in India, he was near Mayapur. I don't remember the name of the town. But went to this arti, and after the arti, asked the pujari to give him his blessings because he was going to America. Anyway, this Pajari later said, and that was him. That he couldn't believe it that he had done what he did. Why? Because Prabhupada was another yogi. He was a great yogi, not a yogi. He was a, you know, Shaktavesa avatar. He had powers which are not ordinary, but he didn't want to show them. He didn't want to make a deal about it. He didn't want to express that, well, I have these great powers and I'm so this great yogi. No, no. In fact, he was very upset when the devotee said that that he was the personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada got very upset about it. Why? Because his mission was to make crow men-like into swan men-like. That was his mission. So he thought, well, if they think that I'm somebody special and I can do this, well, then they won't even try. They'll just go on with their life and they'll, oh, well, yeah, he's just, he's an Indian yogi. We can never get to that platform. So they wouldn't even try to follow his program. He was very smart, Srila Prabhupada. He was beyond the beyond. Also, they, and he was really into spreading Krishna consciousness and to helping those people that wanted to become like swan men, like men. So, very, very extraordinary. So he had great yogic powers. We also know that story where some Indian brahmanas, they said, well, you are, if you say that you are a yogi, well, what is your mystical potency? And then he showed his devotees, said, this is my mystical potency. Now, you think about that. Well, to create an airplane like Kardama Muni did, well, that's very nice. Well, he very powerful. What else can you do? Can you get a rabbit out of a hat or something like that? Well, that's nice. Okay, that's very nice. You are a very great magician. But to turn people from crow men-like to swan men, in other words, people that are interested in Krishna consciousness and that give up their sense gratification, how could it be? How could it be that we were attracted to sense gratification? I mean, let's face it. In fact, when you read the other verses in the Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam on this chapter, you'll get to the point where, you know, Kardama Muni divides himself into 9 males so that he could enjoy even more with Devahuti. So, you know, it's like everyone was into this kind of sense gratification mentality. I can say that for a fact that that's who I was, except that I always knew that there was something else beyond what I was doing. But then when I found this movement and the Sankirtan movement and I found these literatures, then you realize, well, wait a second, there is something beyond. And this is what Prabhupada did. He said right here on this lecture on 1833, he said, we can convert the crows into the swans. Wow, how can you do that? Okay, which magician can do this? You get a crow, bird-like, okay, and now it's a swan. Ah, wow, great, okay. And another one, you want more crowns, more crows into swans? Sure, more crows into swans. And you know what? He passed in 1977. Next year will be his 50th anniversary from his passing. And still, those crows are becoming swans. How? Mystical potency, that mystical potency, yogic potency, that's what we are talking about. Why? Because Krishna took charge of the boat. Krishna himself took charge of his activities. So if you surrender unto Krishna, then anything is possible. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, he said. Yes, because if you surrender, and that's what Kardama Muni did, he surrendered to the order by Lord Brahma. He said, okay, I want you to go and populate the earth. Okay, I want the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be part of my progeny. And he became a yogi through austerities. And then everything was changed. So very, very great yogi, very great magician, this Kardama Muni, but Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. He surrendered to the order of his spiritual master, which is one, perhaps the most important of the principles that we have to remember. If you surrender to the orders of your spiritual master, then everything will be achieved. And so, and Srila Prabhupada, that's the other thing, is that he is not gone. He's still here with us, if you remember him and you remember his instructions. I don't know how far I can go on this class to tell you things, but I have seen and experienced things in my life which are really not ordinary, and I really don't like to talk about them because people will think that I'm crazy or something, because they will not be able to understand. But if I tell you that when I was 3 years ago, I was declared with a very, very bad illness. I mean, I was really bad. Maybe some of you remember when I was like 118 pounds. I was like really a walking ghost around here. I mean, but I needed to come and see the deities. But how did they get to be that skinny? Well, I had a very serious illness. I mean, the doctors gave me 2 years to die. He said, the doctor, they didn't want to do surgery on me or anything. They said, oh, no, you're too far gone for us. You know, if we do surgery, we'll kill you. So that night when they told me that, I really prayed to Prabhupada. I said, well, Prabhupada, what do you want me to do? You want me to stay? You want me to go? They told me that I'm supposed to go. And then that night, Prabhupada came to me and said, no, you have to stay. You can go. I said, really? How am I going to do that? And he said, no, you have to stay. So he left, and my Shiksha Guru came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and said, Maharaj, the Prabhupada told me that I have to stay. How am I going to do that? He said, no, you got to stay. He said that you're supposed to stay. So from then on, I just followed the voice from inside my heart sometimes because what I had was a cancer of colon cancer. So whenever I would eat anything, Prabhupada, should I eat this? And a voice from inside said, no, don't eat today. You got to fast. And I would fast. Prabhupada, I don't feel good. Don't drink water. Follow Nirjala. Okay, I'll follow Nirjala Ekadasi. So I just follow whatever that voice inside of me was telling me to do. Again, this is why I don't like to talk about these things, because then you're going to think, well, this guy. But hey, I don't even take prescription drugs. How did that happen? I haven't taken any prescription drugs for a year and a half. Ah, I'm in perfect health right now. But I don't know how long Krishna will keep me here. Prabhupada has some service for me to do, maybe talking about here a few words in front of the devotees. Maybe it's my service, I don't know. Krishna is giving me some service. I work at the schools. I got another job at the Alacho Learning Academy teaching there. So it keeps giving me these little jobs that I'm supposed to do so that I can purify myself, so that I can become a better devotee or a better person. That's the goal. So I keep doing these things. I stay alive. But not only I'm staying alive, I'm thriving. I'm doing good. I'm in good health. And so how? The doctors really don't understand. They keep calling me from the UF, the Davis Cancer Center. Hey, you're supposed to come. They really call me like every week or every 2 weeks. They really don't understand. No, I'll see you later this summer. Right now, I don't feel good. I don't have any symptoms. What? You don't have any symptoms? No, you got to come and do some testing. Now, I do know I have to do some testing, of course. I'll have to test eventually. But right now, I'm enjoying myself. I'm taking a break from whatever I had, you know. So it's a little bit like that you have to surrender whatever your teacher says, and then in that way you can progress in your spiritual consciousness. And so I'm trying to get other devotees to do some things like exercise, because Prabhupada is very, like, the doctor told me I was supposed to get up and walk and do things like that. So I consulted with Prabhupada, said, yeah, you got to do whatever the doctor says. You got to move around. So I'm very much into exercise and physical exercise. And when you dance here, it's very nice, but you do have to do exercise that helps you to move, to breathe, to be in touch with yourself. Does anything hurt? Is everything all right with me? Yeah, okay, is everything good? All right. So then you got to put yourself, do weightlifting, You do yoga, I do yoga twice a week. Now I'm going to start my own yoga class with where I live. I'm trying to get a room right now so I can get other devotees to do yoga. I'm trying to get other devotees to walk around, to do some exercise. Because I realize exercise is very good. It's good for you, and not just dancing, but also focus exercise, focusing yourself and finding out what's good for your body. Because I always think about this, well, Prabhupada, am I just a materialist trying to take care of my body? So no, if you don't take care of your body, you are dead. So I have to take care of myself. So I got to take care of myself, otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk here and do the little service that Krishna is giving me. So you got to take care of your body, that's number one. And then number two, you got to, you know, do your devotional practices. But you're not going to be able to do too many of these devotional practices if you're not in good health. So I'm trying to help other devotees to do yoga, to exercise, to walk around. To walking is very important. Lifting weights is very important. All of these things that I do, and I've been talking with Prananath, who is actually, that's what he does, he's a trainer, on the basis of training and exercise on how to keep your body healthy. Because the longer you live in this planet, the better for you, in good health. Why? Because if you're in good health and you can do something, then you can do service. And if you can do devotional service, that's how you purify yourself. That's how you really purify yourself. You can do a little health, because that's Prabhupada's mission. Other gurus have other missions, and that's okay. I don't have any argument with the other gurus. I don't know why people say, oh, this is the guru, or Narayan Maharaj did this. No, they're spiritual family. They're my uncle or my cousins. I have very good friends in other camps. Sridhar Swami did a good job. Great devotee. They're all great devotees, but my guru is Prabhupada. Why? Because when I was about to die, who came to see me? Prabhupada. So, you have a relationship which is eternal with your guru. Always. So there is no point in getting up, you know, into arguments with other gurus or other devotees from other sampradayas. And it's not that's their business. Why? Because ultimately the guru, the one who is your guru, is the one who opens your eyes to see the knowledge, to see that swan-like knowledge that is coming to us. And he is your guru. And Prabhupada happened to be one, he was great. He was one of the greatest gurus that I can think of. And his mission is fantastic. His mission is to bring other people to this consciousness of Krishna consciousness, where they give up their sense gratification, they think of Krishna, and they can hear him playing on his flute. Hey, what else do you want? You know, this is fantastic. Because that's why I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, is because when I pass from this planet, I want to go back to Goloka, and I want to hear Krishna playing on his flute. I can just be a twig in a branch in the forest where he's playing. I'll just be happy being a leaf somewhere. Oh, man, Krishna's playing. Because even the leaves and the twigs and the trees, everything in Vrindavan is alive. You know, they have consciousness. So whoever I am, I can be a bird, I can be anything. I can just be listening to Krishna playing on his flute. That would be beautiful. But how did I get to that consciousness? Is because Prabhupada brought this mission to bring people out of this crow-like consciousness where you are addicted to sense gratification. Because sense gratification will bring you back to the material world. That's what it is. But anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this because I was just only supposed to speak about this story with Kardama Muni and how he created this beautiful palace. So any other, are there any questions or any comments? I would really appreciate it. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Babu, for the nice class. these Kusha Mata, who's in Vrindavan, early in the movement, she saw on the refrigerator a note from Prabhupada. It says, first, your health. Second is chanting. Three is seva or service. And fourth is reading. So you're correct. We have to take care of our health. You know, because devotees, naturally, they're just detached from their bodies, you know. I'm not this body. Until it starts falling apart, and they go, hey. So,
that's right.
And then also, you were talking about Lord Brahma. And there was a Prabhupada asked, this was one devotee, a Burijan, and he mentions this in his book, that Prabhupada said that, yeah, on Krishna's flute, he's, which Gayatri is it? And so then Burijan says, oh, it was Om Borba, and Prabhupada said, no, it's Kama Gayatri. So the Kama Gayatri is what you hear on Krishna's flute.
Somaji. Haribol.
Haribol. Just two comments. You're talking about the swans and the artificial swans. That this is the verse that in New Vrindavan is why we had the, you know, the real swans that you were talking
that's right.
About.
That's right. There was the a boat, there was a swan boat. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other point is how Kardama was like amazed that he had created such a thing, such a wonderful palace. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say that he reads his own books and he's amazed, you know, at how nice they are. So I just thought that was similar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Thank you for giving your own personal experience with Srila Prabhupada and how it helped your health, because, you know, many of us know you, and we saw you go through that situation, and then miraculously, like, came back. It was quite amazing, and we're quite happy for that. But thank you for that little personal experience that you had with Prabhupada, because definitely Prabhupada is there. He guides our lives. He brought me to this movement. You know, he told me to go to the temple when I started to read his books, and I didn't want to go there. And so he could encourage me, go to the temple through his books, through his reading. You know, you need to meet the devotees. You need to do service. So, you know, anyway, I think all the devotees who are part of this movement have something personal like that that has brought them here and keeps us here. So thank you for sharing that.
Okay. No, but the one thing that I was trying to say is that Prabhupada is not gone. He's here, right now. You just need to connect with him by doing service. That's the lesson that I'm learning, that I have to do some service, whatever service in my capacity, because by the process of service, I'm purifying myself. You know, basically, like when Bhaktivedanta Maharaj left, I told Maharaj, you can't go, come on. You're young, you're 55 years old, you know, you're strong, you're a football player, a great dancer, I mean, you can just leave us. He said, no, it has already been arranged. Tamal told me I have to go. No matter what I do, I'm going to be gone. So the point is that some devotees are just in that position where they are so advanced. You cannot say, oh, well, he passed early in life, whatever. No, he had another mission to go to. In my case, they don't want me there. They say, no, you got to purify yourself more. You got to do some service. you can come back here and listen to Krishna's flute. That's too easy. No. You got to stay back. So I'm trying to see how much I can purify myself. I don't know how long I'll be here. I'll be here maybe another month, another year, another 10 years. I don't know. Who knows? I know that life is finite. You do have to realize this. You are only going to live in this planet for so many years, and who knows when we are going to be gone. So before we go, we better do a little service and purify our existence. Anyway, any other questions?
So can you tell a little bit about the Venu, Vamshi, Murli, the buffalo horn, or like how to get more absorbed into how, you know, what kinds of instrument Krishna is playing?
Yes. Well, thank you for the question. I didn't want to get too technical about it. I do play all the flutes that Krishna plays. Not all the flutes. I just play a fraction and know how to blow on them, so to speak. I really cannot play like Krishna plays. It's impossible. But I did learn a few things. I was very into it for many years. In fact, I used to study like 8 hours a day until one day Brihan Devi, my wife, came and said, Mahesh, you got to put some food on the table. You cannot keep playing your flute all day long, you know? So, but anyway, I was really fanatic about the instrument because I really liked it. And I was really, it was my meditation. I would go to the temple. I played in temples. I played with the theater group, the Theater of Understanding. I was really, really into it. So after I read the description of Krishna's flutes in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so Krishna plays many different kinds of flutes. And I used to own a lot of them, and I've played a lot of the different kinds that Krishna plays, including the ones that are made out of mud or earth, called ocarinas in South America. I had this beautiful one that had three chambers. It was polyphonic instrument. It was beautiful. I would play on it, and it looked like a snake. It was like a snake. I felt like it was like an antashesha or something, and it was polyphonic. But the main flutes that Krishna plays are, this is the bansuri flute. It has six holes on the body of the flute. And I have many different sizes depending on the key that I want to play, because sometimes I play with other musicians. So it will be in E or D, or, you know, the sa changes. Okay, so this is bansuri, which is a long kind of bamboo flute. And then there is a shorter flute, which I also play. It's called the bamsi. It's very small. They play it mainly in South India, although I have several bamsis because, again, if I play with different musicians and they play like in C or D or very small, or I need to play like piccolo or high pitch, then I will play the small flutes. Usually when I go and I play in kirtan or for a bhajan, I'll bring with me like 5 or 6, 7 different flutes to see. And then what you do, this is why it took me so long, took me years and years to master. And the reason is because you have to really listen to the tone. It has to be the perfect microtonal sound. Because we are trying to get to the spiritual world when we play music, especially in bhajan. It's not like you can just play anything. There is a microtone that has to be in the frequency that takes you out of this world. And so, you know, just to give you an idea, some of the greatest musicians in the world used to study with my teacher, Sashdev. I mean, I'm talking about very famous people. And so one day, he played only one note for 1 hour for these super famous people. And that's all they played, one note. And after 1 hour, my teacher stopped the class and said, now we are going somewhere. Now we are getting there. Meaning that unless you play exactly that tone, microtone that is perfect, you are going nowhere. So what I do is because I was trained by my teacher that way, when I come here and some singer is singing, I'll just blow a little bit softly. And just by blowing softly, I know exactly what is their sa. Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa. So number one, I figure right away what is that sa. And then I can figure out which flute will go with whatever they are singing. And then beyond that is, you know, I just follow along with whatever. I can capture any melody right away. But that is because of the teachings of my teacher. And that's what he said. I asked him, well, Sashdev, why do I have to practice so many hours? He said, because when Saraswati comes, you don't want to be in the middle of the music. Your fingers don't want to be in the middle of the music. You gotta be there, okay. The Saraswati wants to play that, you got to play that. In other words, I've played in the temple, especially in New Vrindavan. I used to play a lot in New Vrindavan. I used to be on Sankirtan. When I came back from Sankirtan, I would play in the temple. And I would play in front of the deities, and at some point, I was not longer playing. I was not the player of the music. You know, that's what my teacher said. You want to play so much, you want to practice so much that you get to a point where the music just flows through you. That's what it is. It flows through you. So now Bansi is very small, and the third flute that Rupa Goswami mentions is called Murali. Now Murali flute is a very difficult instrument to play, and basically it went to China through the Silk Road and then to Japan. In Japan they call it the shakuhachi, and in China they call it the sho. So when I was in Japan, we were doing some sankirtan there, I connected with a teacher, got the murali, which they call shakuhachi. But then Rupa Goswami describes it on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It has four holes on the body of the flute. Krishna plays from the top. I said, wow, that's shakuhachi. It's exactly the description. Murali. Murali is not played like this. Murali is played like this. And that's murali. Now, this is Bamsuri, and then Bamsi is small. So those are the three main instruments. But now, Krishna not only plays flutes made out of bamboo, but are made out of crystal or glass or jewels or, you know, all kinds of material, yeah, that he can.
There's a verse in Brahma Samhita which translates that every word is a song inspired
the word. There is, yes, there is that song where every word is, and every step is a dance, right? So, but that is in the spiritual world. That's where we should try to strive to where we want to go. We want to go to that location where Lord Chaitanya is dancing in Kirtan. Can you imagine that? Or hear Srila Krishna playing on his flute. That would be beautiful. So, anyway, any other questions? Where we got a question over here, Prabhuji? Yeah, we have put over the years some of our music is on YouTube. I can give you later. I can give you information. I was for many years I was a music producer. We produce many concerts at the Berkeley Temple, the new Jagannath Puri in Berkeley. And I produce very great musicians. I studied with great musicians like Sashdev and also Sakir Hussain, who is a tabla player. He just passed recently, but I studied with him. He was my tabla teacher, and I used to produce Sakir Hussain's concerts at the Berkeley Temple. So we produced many, many great musicians from India came. And over the years, we have put, I think some of the best music is still in CD form, and I like to put it onto the internet because nobody buys CDs anymore, you know, so I have any CD. And now sometimes the devotees come to me because they do have, somehow they have CD players, so they ask me for CDs, and I still have those CDs. But I actually recorded some of the ragas that Krishna plays and that Srimati Radharani plays, because there are some ragas that Srimati Radharani also is a great flautist, and he can play beautiful music. And sometimes he steals Krishna's flute, as we know. And there is a beautiful painting in the Delhi temple where Srimati Radharani is taking away Krishna's flute. But she's a great player, and she plays some ragas that Krishna doesn't play, like Raga Bageshwari. The ragas on jealousy, there are certain some ragas that express certain emotions that Srimati Radharani feels, you know. So Madhuvanti, also very beautiful raga. So I recorded some of these ragas, but they're in CD form, and I would like to put them on the internet sometime. But I do have a few recordings, and I produce a group called Kona Harp Ensemble, because I believe also in harps. My wife plays the harp. So I produce very beautiful music on harps and flute. So when you hear harps and flute, it's a very interesting combo. Harp actually is a Western instrument, but it really comes from India. That's swar mandal. The original harp is a swar mandal. So when we play devotional music on harp and flute, it's like really very beautiful, very, very interesting. Of course, with mardangams and kartals, you can get to dance. It's a beautiful, it's a different type of pastime, yeah.
So on one Medanga channel, I saw there is one Mahaprabhu's favorite tune. Is that for real? Like
Mahaprabhu's tune?
Mahaprabhu's favorite tune, Medanga tune.
I You'll have to play it for me. I'm not sure exactly what that tune is, but I'm pretty sure if I hear it, we could probably reproduce. Or I may have played it already somewhere. I just would like to know, because I think Mahaprabhu has several tunes that are his favorite. But if you tell me which tune it is, I probably will be able to help you with that. Can play it on the flute, or we can sing it. Sure. All right, Prabhuji, any other questions? Jai. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.